And welcome in to the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Got a lot to get to on the program here today. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel will drop by at 7:30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Our weekly visit with Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com coming up at 8. And as always, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All show long. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm having a really confusing morning. I have a dental appointment today.
Okay.
But now, apparently, I also have a different doctor appointment today.
Wow, let's get them all done at once.
I'm so confused right now. If I have to pay for canceling a doctor's appointment on the day of the doctor's appointment, we're going to have a total meltdown today on the show.
We're going to have an issue. Michelle, how are you? Good morning.
I am doing fabulous this morning. Got to see the Kentucky Wildcats in person last night. They looked phenomenal. Feeling really great and really upbeat this morning. Wow. Remember last morning when Rex Road was like, are you scared? They could lose. And I was like, well, they looked great. So just wanted to give a little update on that.
So when Cal's at Texas next year, you would look back fondly on this win over Vanderbilt. You'd be like, oh, Cal, the times we had after I fired you.
Yeah. Oh, when you beat Vanderbilt. Don't even. You were like, they're looking good.
Well, he didn't fire him. You did.
I didn't. Did I predict that Vanderbilt would win last night?
Well, you were like, they could lose. They just won at Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, Kentucky's lost a couple games this year, haven't they?
They have.
Okay. I mean, Kentucky played well. Congrats.
Thank you.
Okay. You fired Cal 2 weeks ago. He's going to be at Texas next year. Enjoy your time.
I'll enjoy it.
615-737-1025. Congratulations to Kentucky for their win against Vanderbilt last night. Speaking of wins last night, Predators get a big win last night, 2-1 against the Winnipeg Jets at home. So it looked rough for a minute. Jets took the 1-0 lead 48 seconds into the game last night, and the Predators were struggling to finish on some chances offensively. Eventually, Cody Glass drives to the net, gets one to redirect in the net, and then Tanner Jeannot, for the first time since October 27th, gets on the board last night, Joe Rex Road, for his fourth goal of the season, and the Predators skate away with a 2-1 win last night. So that's a big win against a team that is in second place in the division right now in the standings. I said it yesterday. I don't know that I consider Winnipeg an elite team, but they're really darn good, and that's a big win at home for the Predators. And you keep pace. The Avalanche win last night. So, by the way, all of a sudden they're in a top three spot in the playoffs. You look around, Minnesota really kind of had Tampa for a little bit last night, and then some bad penalties got in the way, and Tampa wins. So Minnesota loses. The Predators win. You're 2 points behind the Wild, who are now out of the playoffs, and the Preds now 3 points behind the Flames with a game in hand. So that's a big one last night for the Nashville Predators to get that done at home.
Yeah. Didn't play well early. UC Saros, I thought, kept him in the game. And, man, I mean, you get that, give up that instant goal that's just a dunk.
Yep.
But I thought they really played well after that, in the second and third, and man, did Tanner's, need that one. Sure they did. Needed it. He needed it.
Yeah, no question. It's a classic kind of Tanner's, play there on a power forward move where he gets the rebound, takes it behind the net, and scores on the wraparound play there. You often wonder when you see guys that have been struggling and one of them goes in for whatever reason, sometimes that leads to more goals going in. I don't know if that's going to be the case with Tanner's or not. They need it to be. He scored 24 last year. They need him to get rolling offensively, and he gets his fourth of the season last night. And again, I agree with you. I thought they played well for most of the night, and they had some chances, and they could have made it a little bit worse than the 2-1 score that it was. I also, about halfway through the first period and a few times in the second period, I was looking around and I was like, man, UC Saros is so good. And it's kind of like the game last night. They had enough offensive zone possession. What did they end up with? 41 shots last night. I mean, it's a good offensive showing from the Predators in terms of the chances that you're generating last night. But there were still about four or five saves in that game where UC Saros made, where you're just like, man, that dude is in a different zone right now.
Yeah, and I'm getting it mixed up if it was the second or third, because they had a flurry there where He probably had two or three saves that are just like.
I think it was the third.
It was an early third, yeah. I guess. Yeah. No, it's ridiculous how much he changes the calculus for them.
It really is.
You know, because they're still making, you know, too many mistakes. And again, that team is just, I mean, Winnipeg is, they attack you, man. They've got their stuff together when they get those top guys out there. But, you know, I saw what, like, the numbers for Glass's line against their top line was pretty good last night overall, man.
I tell you what, man. He's, and look, Forsberg, we know what he can be. Duchesne, I thought, had some good moments last night. He had one play off the rush where he was flying out there, and I was like, okay, that's what they need from you.
Needed to score for me. He didn't do it.
He did need to score for you on that play. But Cody Glass, I think, has fit in really well with those two. And, you know, obviously he gets the goal last night, driving to the middle of the net. And I did basically like a Winnipeg media tour yesterday. Went on like a couple radio stations and a YouTube show. They love me up there in Winnipeg, man. Big Winnipeg.
Big in the peg.
Big in the peg up there in Winnipeg. But, I mean, a lot of the questions I was asked was about Cody Glass. And he's from there, obviously. And I just think he's settling in really well. It's kind of a classic case study of what a little bit of confidence can do for you, right? Like, he gets confidence. I think there's something to knowing that if you make one mistake, you're not just going to be ripped out of the lineup. I think that frees you up a little bit. And when you're freed up, some of your offensive skill naturally starts to take over. And look, there was nothing overly special about the goal he scored last night. It was just driving to the net, redirecting the puck. But all of a sudden, when you've got confidence and you're given opportunity, sometimes those little plays, they start to take over out there. He looks really good with those two.
Yeah.
Does not look out of place whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, Glass and Parson in both, to me, you know, those are the – and the thing is, those are also – they're kind of the narrative busters, because there's understandably, you know, discontent about other young players who haven't developed or are gone or whatever. But those two guys are huge, and I don't know where this team would be without them right now, really. It's not like they're lighting up the world, but they're really important players.
Yep, no question about it. So a big win for the Preds last night. They'll be back at it on Thursday, taking on the New Jersey Devils, try to close things out before the All-Star break with another win. If you can do that, feeling maybe a little bit better heading into the All-Star break about where you are. They've won 4 of 5, so a nice run for the Predators lately. We'll see if they can finish that off coming up on Thursday as they take on the New Jersey Devils, who, by the way, are very, very good and won once again last night. So we'll see if the Predators can handle that coming up on Thursday. Joe, a report surfacing this morning, and Pro Football Talk was, I guess, the first place I saw it, that Jeff Saturday getting a second interview with the Indianapolis Colts. This is quite the coaching search that the Colts are putting together out there.
So I guess I look at Jeff Saturday and I wonder, didn't he already have like a big first, second, third interview when he was the interim coach all year?
I mean, you would think, right?
And then they had an interview?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, Jeff, you know, we want to learn a little bit more about you. Why don't you come in? Let's go the second interview. What?
Yeah.
Is Irsay just like, he's just doesn't want to make a decision, so they're interviewing 17 people?
I guess so.
Jeff, can you just fill another hole in the day for us? We'll just call it a second interview. Just want to hang out with you.
First thing I saw this morning, too, I was like, a second interview? He's been there for months. What's going on around here? How many interviews you need? Jeff Saturday. Hey. If the Colts hire Jeff Saturday, what's the reaction from Titans fans?
Well, they'll be excited.
I think they will.
They'll be very excited. And I'm not – the thing is, like, I don't know for sure that Jeff Saturday will be, like, a disaster of a coach. This team was – I mean, it was a bad situation. It was a tough situation. And, you know, I don't know. He at least seemed like he knew how to put a headset on and talk to people.
He did see.
He's played football.
He could do that.
So – but yes, there will be a lot.
Coach.
But like, if you compare hiring him to, you know, someone who's actually achieved something as a coach, then yeah you should. I mean, it's got to sound better to Titans fans than like when the Jags hired Doug Peterson. You know, it wasn't like immediately a slam dunk, but it was like, okay, well, there's a guy who's won a Super Bowl and seems to kind of know his left foot from his right foot, and it's worked out okay for them. So yeah, I think the Titans fans would much prefer a Saturday to a lot of the other possibilities.
I'm really interested to see how that goes. I mean, you know, hopefully Jim Irsay's been normal in the interview process. Apparently, that was a problem with Josh McDaniels a few years ago with his family.
Don't have him over to your house. You're fine. Just go to his house.
Hey, Jim, we're going to conduct these interviews at the facility.
Yeah, let's do it all by Zoom, Jim.
Let's do it all by Zoom or in the Colts facility, and that'll be the way we go. So
low lighting.
We'll keep you updated on the latest on the NFL coaching searches. Apparently, Jeff Saturday getting a second interview with the Indianapolis Colts. So we'll keep you updated on that front. Obviously, lots of offensive coordinator openings still in the National Football League as well, including with the Tennessee Titans. So if and when news comes along on that front, we'll have you updated as well. 615-737-1025. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll get into the quarterback discussion with the Tennessee Titans. Are we actually going to have to start talking about Aaron Rodgers? What about Tom Brady? Both of them, in their own ways, addressing their future yesterday. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic. Here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Forgot what day it was for a second. That happens every now and then.
I can relate.
Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. So the quarterback carousel conversation starting to begin in the National Football League. We've talked about some of it. What will happen with Tom Brady? What will happen with Aaron Rodgers? And I guess some different conversation on those two beginning yesterday. Tom Brady addressing his future. We'll get to those comments here in just a few minutes. But lots of speculation on Aaron Rodgers and his future with the Green Bay Packers over the past couple of days. Adam Schefter coming out with a, I don't know if it, report is the right word or speculation or whatever it is, that the Packers could be open to trading him. If they do, they're not going to trade into an NFC team. It would be an AFC team, and that would be the way they proceed from there. What would the price be for Aaron Rodgers? All these different things. And Rodgers joins Pat McAfee on a weekly basis throughout the NFL season. And last week talked about how he's got to take some time, decide whether or not he wants to continue playing football. Talked about having the best opportunity to win, to go win another MVP, to compete for a championship. And the phrasing he used last week was, maybe that opportunity is in Green Bay, and maybe it's not. So that got a lot of people's head kind of spinning there. And now, speculation that the Packers may be open to trading him and may be wanting to start the Jordan Love era after drafting him in the first round 3 seasons ago. So that puts Rodgers, who is 39 years old, in an interesting spot. He won the MVP in 2020, 2021. Obviously, he is not going to win the MVP this year. And we'll see what his future decides in terms of whether or not he wants to play. Look, I read this situation, Joe. He's owed almost $60 million next year. He said yesterday on Pat McAfee that if he comes back and plays, it's probably not going to be at the number that he's playing with. It's probably going to have to be adjusted in some point or in some form or fashion that way. He seems to me like a guy that's going to be playing football. Like, I'm not going to say there's a 0% chance he retires. He seems to me like a guy that wants to be playing football next year. And I've kind of dismissed the idea that it's going to be anywhere other than Green Bay. Now, I still, if I had to put my percentage chance on it, I think the percentage chance is overwhelmingly higher that it's in Green Bay than anywhere else. But I will say, some of the noise around Aaron Rodgers right now makes it seem like the Packers are at least considering or exploring the idea of maybe moving on from Aaron Rodgers. What do you make of what we've heard from the Aaron Rodgers front the past couple of days and the idea that maybe the Green Bay Packers could be open to trading him if they get the right price?
Well, it's that season. It's Rodgers, it's Brady. Every year, let's talk about him. And of course, very different with Brady, because Brady, I think, is pretty clearly going to be somewhere else. I'm with you on Rodgers. Did Schefter say the least likely thing in his opinion was Packers? Is that right?
I didn't see that, but if he did, I'm like, okay.
That's what I thought I heard, but I
they could have. I just didn't see it.
I could be wrong. Because I'm with you. It just still seems like ultimately the most likely scenario is that he comes back. So the cap hit next year is, according to this, I'm reading this Domofsky story, the cap hit is 31.6.
Yep.
So it's 59.5 guaranteed if he plays. The cap hit, you know, with void years, all that stuff, 31.6. I mean, it's painful for them even to trade him, the dead money. Again, the cap is, you can do things with the cap. I think if the Packers did this, then this would be, to me, their version of the Fank, right? I mean,
yes.
Like they're trying to get draft capital. It's going to hurt financially. They probably won't do a ton in free agency. They'll go with Jordan Love, see what they have. And if it's not great, then they're in position next year to restart the QB clock, right? I mean, is that basically the idea?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, look, and you know what? The guy hasn't won much in the postseason in a long time. And he's a tremendous talent. He's also kind of a distraction. So I can see from the Green Bay side being sick of like some of the comments he makes. It's funny because one of the quotes here is like, you know, I'm not trying to be cryptic or anything, but it's like, but that's basically what you do every week.
Yeah.
Is like you go on that show and say things that can be interpreted in so many different ways. So I can see the Packers being ready to move on and just, it's like, you know, how much longer can this go like this? I mean, they were bad this year, and I know he was banged up some too, right? I don't know how much you think the thumb had to do with their overall year, but probably some.
Had some. I mean, look, he wasn't anywhere near as good this year as he was the previous 2 years, obviously, when he won league MVP, okay? Now, I could still pick out probably 3, 4, 5 throws a game that he makes where you're just like, yeah, there's about two other guys that can make that throw.
No so doubt. No
he's
doubt.
Still, I don't think that he's like totally lost it or anything. Like I think he's still really good. I think in the right situation, you know, the offensive line was kind of a mess for the first part of the year. He didn't have anybody that could get open, and then Christian Watson figured it out, and all of a sudden he had somebody that could get open, and it looked a little different offensively. So I still think he can play. To your point, I wonder what the distraction or lack of a better term, like if that's starting to wear on Green Bay. Like he was asked yesterday on McAfee, did something happen in your conversation with Brian Gutekunst that makes you think that you won't be back next year? And his answer was basically no. Like, no, there's nothing that was said. It's just kind of reading the room and knowing that they drafted Jordan Love and at some point they may want to see him. I think his quote was, quote, if they feel like it's in the best interest of the team to move forward, so be it. That wouldn't offend me, and it wouldn't make me feel like a victim. I wouldn't have any animosity towards the team. I love the organization, love the city, love the region, all that stuff. So, like, I don't know if he's, like, making things up out of thin air that they're moving on from him or what, but this is the third offseason in a row where it's just been like, all right, are you going to play? Are you not going to play? Do you want to be traded? Do you not want to be traded? Like, at some point, it gets a little old.
The answer changes, maybe. Yeah. But if you want to flip it around to the Titans, man. So,
what's the price?
Yeah, the price, the dead money price of then, you know, Tannehill's out.
Yep.
Maybe you can find a trade. That would ease it a little bit, but I don't know what you can find for a trade with Tannehill. I guess, you know, the Jets seem to be like – that. The funny thing is the Jets, I've heard people make a case for the Jets with Brady, which makes sense. I've heard people, you know, we were listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max about the Jets and the Packers. Man, yeah, kind of makes sense. And I know, you know, whatever, like Favre did it, who cares? And I could make a case for Tannehill being it. You know, it seems like they want to probably, well, I don't know if they do, but it seems like it's very possible that they end up with a more proven player at the position with what all else they have to try to, you know, to try to jumpstart things. So, I mean, I guess if the Titans got Rodgers, then Tannehill to the Jets, then everybody's happy, right?
I guess so.
But I just, it seems far-fetched. I mean, Rodgers and Brady, to me, seem very far-fetched to me in terms of an actual decision here for the Titans. And it's also on their end of it looking at the Titans. Not that the Titans can't get a lot better this offseason, but why is this the choice of either of them?
Right. Well, like you know, if Rodgers is traded, it is a little different from Brady. You know, Brady will be a free agent. Now, having said that, I would guess, and I don't know this, I would guess that if the Packers are going to trade Aaron Rodgers, he's probably going to have a pretty good say in where he's going.
It's got to be, right?
Yes. So I would assume that he's going to have his selection as to where he wants to go, if that's the case. Are the Titans going to be on that list? I don't know. I mean, as they were talking about on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, he does have property around here, as we learned last year.
Mm-hmm. So, this is true.
Shout out to Jared for pointing that out. But, I mean, it's far-fetched, I think. Also, like, I'd be curious, like, what's the price to get it? Like, if you're making a trade for Aaron Rodgers, what do you have to give up? I mean, is it 2 first-round picks? Is it 3 first-round picks? I mean, he's 39. He could retire after 1 year. Like, how much are you giving up to go get Aaron Rodgers? I don't know what the answer is to that.
Yeah, because if you're Packers and you're doing this, then you are obviously – you expect a pretty robust market, I think. I would think that would be the case.
I would think.
So you are absolutely taking your shot right now to load up, start in the new direction. And, again, if you get some first-round picks and then you just might be in position for a really high one on your own in 24, you could see how that would really, you know, start that new era with a bang. So are the Titans going to get it? Rand Carthon going to come right in here and say, let's just mortgage the future right now for Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
He's got a house here.
Yeah. Nice piece of property out there.
Like, what would Vrabel, you know, what would Vrabel think about Aaron Rodgers being his quarterback? I'm sure he'd probably be okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, sure, he'd be fine.
Probably likes good quarterbacks, but.
But, like, at some point, like, you got to get a line, you got to get weapons. And we talked about that with a rookie quarterback. Well, the rookie quarterback's on a rookie deal, right?
Exactly.
This is a little different.
And you can protect. I mean, you may not even play the rookie, you know, at first or whatever. I mean, like, that year with a rookie quarterback is like, okay, you know, the things are not great around this, so we can protect. But if you're bringing in Rodgers,
to win.
Win right now. And so you do all this, and then what else can you do? Because the cap is real, folks. I mean, you can do a lot of things, and they would. They would have to do a lot of things to kick the can down the road to open up more space. But there are limitations to that because it's real.
Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line says, it's all drama with Rodgers. He loves the spotlight, needs to move on. His better years are behind him. And I'm a Packer guy. My buds in Wisconsin echo that. Fed up with him. This is from Chip in Mount Juliet on the text line.
Wow.
I will say, it's getting a little exhausting. It's third offseason in a row.
You're ready for Jordan Love. Bring it on.
Well, from the Packers side of things, I don't know that I'm necessarily ready for Jordan Love. Part of what Rodgers has talked about is like what weighs into his decision. Like, are you bringing Mercedes Lewis back? Are you bringing Alan Lazard back and all these different guys that he likes playing with? And all that's fine. Randall Cobb, part of that too. But that hasn't worked. So, like, if you're bringing it back and it hasn't worked, I don't know what makes you think with all of them being a year older, it's just all of a sudden going to work now. I don't want that. So it's a really interesting spot that the Packers are in right now with Aaron Rodgers. And who knows? Maybe he'll be available this offseason. And if so, really interested to see what the quarterback market looks like on that front. And then there's the Tom Brady side of things. He addressed his future, kind of, yesterday on the Let's Go podcast. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, on the NFL quarterback movement that we could potentially see this offseason. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So we've discussed the possibility of the Green Bay Packers trading Aaron Rodgers. Would the Titans be interested in that? And then there's Tom Brady, who is scheduled to become a free agent this offseason should he decide to continue playing football at the age of what will be 46 coming up as next football season begins here in the NFL. And Tom Brady, I think most people expect, if he does return to play football, will move on from Tampa Bay and will be elsewhere. Now, there is reporting that I saw yesterday that apparently there are three teams that interest Tom Brady. Nobody knows who those three teams are, but apparently Tampa Bay is one of them. There is not ruling out Tampa Bay, a return to Tampa Bay when it comes to Tom Brady. But first, he's got to decide that he wants to play, and Jim Gray, who hosts the Let's Go podcast with Tom Brady on a weekly basis, asked Tom Brady about his future on the latest edition of the Let's Go podcast. Here's what Tom Brady had to say to Jim Gray's question.
Tom, you're leaving everybody guessing. You've said you'll take your time. Do you have any type of a timetable as to what you might want to do regarding your football career?
Jim, if I knew what I was going to fucking do, I'd have already fucking done it. Okay? I'm taking it a day at a time.
I sense you're antagonized by the question.
You're scratching.
It's only the question that everybody wants to hear.
You're scratchy. Scratchy. I appreciate your asking. Thank you.
So that was Tom Brady and Jim Gray on the Let's Go podcast.
What does your scratchy mean?
I don't know.
So
that's a boomer comment from Brady. Go back. Couldn't tell you.
You're scratchy. So what? Since then, Brady has tried to say that that was not, you know, that was not like some staged or, you know, fake outrage moment.
I guess it's real.
He was really mad at the dude who is his own personal media.
Yeah, you couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Apparently he's not decided yet, though, what he wants to do, because if he did, he would have already done it, in his own words there.
Okay. Well, so the Bucs are one of them. And
the Raiders have to be one, right?
Yeah. So I know that I heard this. I heard Jared talking about this, and I didn't totally catch this. But Rick Stroud, I didn't totally catch exactly what Rick Stroud reported. Rick Stroud, a longtime reporter, columnist in Tampa Bay, essentially that – with family considerations,
yep,
to basically break it down, he would not want to be on that side of the country. So so that's something to keep in mind. And this is, of course, and I was listening to this, and it was absolutely, then it was just like, this is exactly why Brady the Titan is going to happen. I'm like, yeah, now you're going on a limb a little bit. But I can see that being a thing. I mean, I feel like the Jets – could be perfect. I mean, as far as, like, you know, geographically speaking,
yep,
there are some good things in place. You can go try to beat Belichick twice in a row on your way out, you know. But, you know, the Titans would work out there geographically. But, yeah, I mean, the Raiders are the obvious thought because of mainly McDaniels and Adams, right?
Well, yeah, I guess I don't really understand the other side of this. Like, I get wanting to be close to your family, but, like, if you're not exactly where your family is, you're a plane
ride
away.
It's a plane ride, right.
So if it's a plane ride away, what difference does it make if it's a one-hour flight or a two-and-a-half-hour flight? Like, that part of it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I mean, I am 100% with you. It's bizarre if you're in Vegas, yeah, okay. So, like, what's a Vegas to – where exactly is this family? They are in Florida, is that right?
I think.
Okay. I mean, that's a long flight.
Sure.
Vegas down to Florida is a long flight. But if you're in New Jersey, you know, I mean, it's basically about an hour and a half difference on the plane.
I mean, it's a plane ride.
Maybe two more hours on a plane.
It's not like you're hopping in the car and going down there.
Right. Yeah, you can't just pop over for dinner. So it's a – but I do know that sometimes people feel like that because they just, you know, it's like it's just a feeling you have, like you're just closer to them. Sure. You know, I think ultimately, if he's going to continue to play, isn't he going to make the decision? I mean, you know, it's just like I heard Keyshawn and those guys talking about, like, hey, does he seem like a city guy, New York guy? He's playing football. He's going to be in the facility. He's going to go to his apartment. Right. You get on Zoom and do Pat McAfee, maybe do a little ayahuasca, make some mac and cheese, and go to bed. Like, who cares? When he's done playing, then he'll, wherever he is most comfortable in the world, he'll go there. It's, I guess it'll be here, maybe.
Yeah.
One of his properties is here. But it's like with Brady, too, it's kind of like if he's going to continue to play, and it sure seems like he is.
He wants to win.
Yeah. It's all about the football ingredients, isn't it?
I would think so, especially with Brady. Like, you know, look, I think Rodgers wants to win, obviously. But Brady, it's all he does. Like, it's all he cares about is winning. And I you know, I'm not saying that the family's not going to be a factor. It just Tampa Bay, when you really went back and looked at it the last time, made a whole lot of sense from a football perspective. I mean, they had a really good roster. They had good young receivers.
He wasn't predicted.
Defense. It wasn't. Yeah, exactly.
But it was like, oh, wow, actually.
And you looked at it and you're like, oh, well, that makes a whole lot of sense. They imagine what that team could do with a quarterback that doesn't throw 30 picks.
Yeah.
Like it's a mag, and then they win the Super Bowl. Like, I'm not saying that wherever Brady goes next, they're definitely winning the Super Bowl, but you would think that you would want to have some pieces in place. And maybe it is as simple as, like, you look at the Jets and you're like, man, it's a darn good defense. Got a good young running back, got some good young receivers, and the quarterback was the only thing holding them back. I mean, the Jets make sense to me.
Yeah. No, they do. They have a very, very good defense. Yeah, Breece Hall got hurt this year. He's good. They got some, yeah. They've got a lot of pieces. You have a good draft with that team, and you can keep him upright. Yeah, that could be something. I mean, really, I could make a stronger case for them as an all-around better team than like what the Raiders project to be next year. So,
just because of the defense, yeah.
Yeah, Chris says Jared reported it's Atlanta, New York, and the Titans. So the Falcons. He reported that, Chris. He reported that. Come on, I need to hear this audio if that's the truth. Why Atlanta?
I don't know.
I mean, Arthur Smith's good. Yeah. But, okay.
Really looking forward to Cordarrelle Patterson, Drake London out there.
I mean, that's a very short flight.
It is a very short flight.
So
get it done quickly.
Yeah. Get home to see the kids within an hour. I understand the Vrabel thing for sure.
Of course.
But is Brady, like, why is Brady interested in this place?
Well, yeah, that's what people point to, right? It's like, oh, well, he knows Vrabel. It's like, yeah, okay. Well, what about the roster? Because, again, this is different from the rookie quarterback conversation we're having. Rookie quarterback is a different deal. If you go and try to move up in the draft and get somebody, if it's a Rodgers or a Brady, you're trying to win now. Like, who knows how much longer they're going to play? Like, Rodgers, I mean, look, I guess they both could still retire this offseason. I'd be shocked, but they both could. Either way, it's not going to be that much longer for Brady or that much longer for Rodgers. So you're trying to win now. So do the Titans even have the capability of putting together a roster that you feel like can win a Super Bowl now, next year? I don't know.
Well, if you're example, we talk about the Jets defense. I think you can certainly look at the Titans defense and feel like there's a chance they could be very good. So that matters. If you want to win, it's good to have a defense and not be asked to score 35 every Sunday. So yep. That's good. But it's just, again, like compare it to the Tampa Bay choice, tremendous receiving talent there. Obviously not the case here. And the offensive line, which eroded in his time there, was good too. And we obviously know the issues there. So if you have those two big questions about the offense. Also, don't even know who the OC is, but, you know, I mean, I guess that could help depending on what you do or whatever. I mean, yep. But just those two big personnel holes, what it would take for the Titans to make this happen, because, again, it will hurt and it will take away from something else. I mean, it just will, okay? But I guess if you did this, you'd pull out all the stops with the cap to try to help yourself. But, I mean, you still, if you're Brady, you'd be looking at a team that would have to have an incredible draft,
yeah,
along with whatever they can do in free agency to support you enough.
Exactly. 615-737-1025. What do you make of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, what their future could look like? Do you think the Titans should get involved and pursue one or both of these quarterbacks should they become available? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, David James here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What will the futures look like for Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers in the NFL world? Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Do you think the Titans should pursue one of those two quarterbacks? Now, I was listening to Jared yesterday talk about all this with Rodgers and Brady, and one thing he brought up.
Did he say the cap was fake?
He did say the cap was fake several
times. Good, good, good.
So, still on that
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. He's still on that
one. Yeah.
But one thing that he brought up that I will admit, when she made the comments, I did raise my eyebrows a little bit. A.B. Adam Strunk has said a couple of different times, both in the introductory press conference from Rand Carthon the other day and then in a clip Jared played yesterday on the show where she sat down with Mike Keith for the Titans website, about tough decisions the Titans have to make with their roster moving forward. And you start to think about those. Okay, well, what does that mean? And now, tough decisions to A.B. Adam Strunk and tough decisions to us could be totally different things. As Jared pointed out yesterday, like, is moving on from Taylor Lewan a tough decision? Is moving on from Robert Woods a tough decision? Bud Dupree, we talked about that yesterday. How tough of a decision is that for the Titans and for A.B. Adam Strunk? And Jared's point was the tough decision is the quarterback at Ryan Tannehill. Is that what A.B. Adam Strunk is referring to when she talks about tough decisions and how much that could play into whether or not they decide to pursue one of these two quarterbacks?
I love when Inspector Clouseau takes a quote and just runs with what it might mean.
Oh, he did.
I mean, again, we got Stretch as the genuine – what is it? The genuine Titan? Yeah. I mean, she may have just been talking, man. Like, isn't that exactly what someone would say? Oh, yeah, these tough decisions coming up. I mean, it's as much – that's like – it's owner speak, isn't it? Isn't it owner speak, GM speak? God, I got some tough decisions, you know? Just got to – you know,
she's
got to take it one day at a time, I tell you, you know.
She said it multiple times.
Yeah. Well, there are tough decisions. I mean, does every team not have tough decisions every offseason?
Most of them do.
Okay. I mean, again, it absolutely could be. It absolutely could be, wink, wink, I'm talking about 17, folks. I don't know. But it also could absolutely just be filling the air with generalities.
Could be. Glenn from Laverne on the text line says, your conversations about getting Brady and Rodgers is totally absurd. It would be equivalent to having a house that has plumbing and electrical problems, hiring a well-renowned contractor who, I don't even know what word he's trying to say there, all your money, outdated home entertainment center, exclamation. There's a lot of words that
okay,
I think we're doing voice to text here, and I just can't do it.
All right, I need to read this for myself because I was kind of there with the analogy.
Don't text,
you know?
And drive. But the voice to text, I think, is a little rough there.
Who the your money? Okay. It actually spells out exclamation.
It does.
I've never seen that before. Okay. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Like, the house, you got some issues there, so you're going to bring in, it's like, yeah, like you're going to bring, I understand. I think we all get the idea, right?
I get the idea.
Which is kind of what I'm saying, too. I mean, look, if you tell me the Titans can fix O-line and receiver this offseason, along with doing this,
yeah,
which will hurt, which will force more adjustments because the cap is something that you still have to make. You got to make the number. It's math. You can do things to make the number, but like there are limitations, again, on what you can do. But if you tell me that you can fix those two things, still make this work, well, then next year you could have a go-for-it year.
Exactly.
I mean, if everything broke well for your defense, then you could have a defense that, paired with a good offense, could make for a team in the AFC that could be something to contend with. Well, but it's a lot of stuff that has to go your way.
I do go back to Amy Adams Strunk when she fired John Robinson, and one thing that she talked about was what has been happening isn't good enough, her standards are higher, and she wants to compete for a championship. Now, great, you hear owners talk about all the time you want to compete for a championship. But what exactly does she mean by that? Like, does that mean that she has no time for a retool, rebuild whatsoever, and it's about now, go get a championship and do everything you can next year to go do it? Because if so, then I've got a little bit more time for being in the conversation for Rodgers and Brady. Is it not that? Is it just wording that she used when she fired John Robinson and she's letting kind of Carthon and Vrabel figure out whatever path they want to go? I don't know. Like, I do go back. We talked about it, a couple days after J-Rob was fired. What does that mean? Like, what did that statement mean in terms of the direction the Titans are going to go? And, you know, Carthon didn't tip his hand all that much. He did make some comments on Derrick Henry that sound like Derrick Henry's going to be back. But the Tannehill part of it was about the answer that I expected it to be. What does it all mean when you factor in all that together about the direction the Titans are going to go? I still don't think we know the answer to that question yet.
Right, and I still also look at this in the context of the new stadium timing and wanting to be as good as possible for that. It's not like bad teams don't open new nice stadiums and live to tell about it. But yep. I think it seems to make sense that you would want to have things like really lined up well for that, right? If you did all this stuff, I mean, like, again, at some point, you're going to pay for it. I mean, look at, like, the Eagles are an example, and the cap is part of the discussion, the Saints too. Those are teams that did a lot of things in the win now window that, you know, that did cost them players that they absolutely would have wanted to keep, but the cap made it so they didn't keep them because this is reality and math. Now, they also came back quickly. Well, I shouldn't say the Saints did. I don't know what's going to go. But the Eagles are an example. You can go into the hole, and then if you make some great choices, you can come out of it quickly. And here they are. I mean, they had a totally different, a few guys still. A few guys, on that roster from a Super Bowl championship team of, let's see, what was that? That was 5 years ago, right?
Six now.
Five
years ago.
Yeah, the 17 season, the 18 Super Bowl, 5 years ago.
Yep.
So they loaded it up. They did all they could. They had some painful losses and decisions. They went down hard, and they came back hard. So, I mean, that's –
And then they had a wide receiver land in their lap.
Well, they did. Well, they made a trade. I mean, Titans can make trades.
They can.
Yeah, they're allowed to make trades. But, like, if you did this route, and again, I do. I'm with anybody on the text line who's like, this is fantasy. I mean, I really don't think the Titans are going to – I don't think either of these guys are going to be here. But if you did this, if you went down this path, then, like, the pain is coming.
Ron on the text line says, as much as it would be great for the Titans to have Brady, meaning ticket sales and jersey sales, I like Brady. I don't want the Statue of Liberty playing quarterback for me. He's the best ever and everything, but I think this team needs a quarterback that can at least move around and not fold up when pressure comes. Please no Brady. This is from Ron on the text line.
Well, that's the thing we haven't talked about one time yet today is, are you sure you want Tom Brady as your quarterback?
Yes.
Okay.
That's me.
I mean, look, I'm not going to be – I've said this before. I'll say it again. Like, I'm not going to be the one who says, no thanks, and then watches him do it again. But I'm very skeptical that we'll ever see him at that level again. I mean, it's just nature, man. It's at some point, 14-hour sleep nights and kale can only do so much for you.
I hear you. You're right. I just don't know that we've arrived at that point yet.
I don't know either. So I would go with it if I had the chance to get – like, Okay, but I'll tell you this. If I had a chance between Brady or Rodgers, it's not even close. I'm taking Rodgers.
I would agree.
I understand all the championships Brady's won, and I think, you know, there's a certain distraction factor with Rodgers that's annoying, but I would absolutely. He is a better player right now than Tom Brady.
I would agree. Now, again, I think it's easier in this discussion. I think it's way easier for the Titans to land Brady than it would be Rodgers. Like, I'm with you. I don't think either one is going to happen. I keep going back to the main thing in this conversation to me is, from their vantage point, I'm not sure it makes a ton of sense. So if it's Brady, does it make a ton of sense to come here? If it's Rodgers, if you're picking your destination, if you end up getting traded, which has a lot of ifs, does it make sense to come here? Like, it just, to me, there's a lot that would have to happen and that they would have to know before they make that decision that I'm not sure how they could know right now as things sit here today. So I don't think it's going to happen, but I will say I do think the path to getting Brady is easier than Rodgers.
And it's all fun to talk about.
And it's definitely fun to talk about. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll keep the conversation on the quarterbacks. We talked about it with the Titans a couple of days ago. At some point, you're going to have to figure out the quarterback of the future to combat the rest of the quarterbacks in the AFC. Which AFC quarterback currently playing scares Titans fans the most? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.